Have your Bibles tonight. I would like to ask you to please turn to Luke chapter 14. I would like to read from Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15 and reading through verse 24. The Word of God here is talking about eating bread in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the bread that's under consideration, of course, is not the kind of bread that we typically think of when we talk about breaking bread. That was a common term that people used when I was growing up. People would say, how about coming by one day this week and breaking bread with us? That was a common term that was used. It didn't mean break some bread. It meant eat some food. Breaking bread meant eat some food. The breaking of bread is something that certainly in biblical times was often done. The bread was probably one of the main foods that they had was the bread. Bread is called, in the Bible, bread is sometimes called the staff of life. That is the natural bread that we eat. It has so many ingredients in it that you could actually live on bread and water. There are people that have lived on bread and water for a long, long time. Bread has the nutrients in it that we need. And so in the natural realm, we eat natural bread, and we enjoy, usually, eating natural bread. Our bodies also need, just like our bodies need natural bread, our souls need spiritual bread. Your soul and my soul, the soul of every child of God, it needs to be fed. It needs spiritual bread. There are comparisons in the Word of God to natural bread and spiritual bread, and showing that the body needs natural bread and our soul needs spiritual bread. That's what Jesus is talking about here in Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. The Word of God says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now here, remember those words. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And remember, the kingdom of God is different than eternal heaven. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Word of God says here, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I don't think he's talking about natural bread. I think he's talking about spiritual bread. It's a great blessing to eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now the next verse then says, then said he unto them, that is Jesus said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I believe that this supper that was prepared has reference to the spiritual bread that we need to partake of. I believe that in the house of God, and that's what this passage is talking about, is that in the house of God, the people of God ought to be fed the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. If we're going to grow and develop, we need the Word of God. If we're going to make it through the coming week, we need the bread, the spiritual bread that God has for us. And so it is, the Word of God says that that a man made a great supper, and he bid his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Verse 18 says, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. Now, why do people make excuse about not wanting spiritual bread? I think one of the reasons is they don't know how much they need spiritual bread. Another reason is that sometimes the people of God are so involved in the worldly things for their body, they don't realize that the real unhappiness, the real uneasiness, the real void that they have in their lives is actually in their soul and not in their body. And you can do everything that you could ever aspire to do to try to satisfy a human being. And you can give them food, natural food. You can give them houses and shelter and give them everything they want. I'm telling you, a child of God will never be satisfied just with the natural things of this world. The natural food and the natural Blessings of this world, they cannot satisfy the soul at all. The spiritual food that we need is what our soul needs. And that's what God had prepared, is a supper to feed the souls of his people. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. Now, listen, brethren, if a man bought a piece of ground without ever looking at it, he's not a very wise person. And if he's bought a piece of ground and he's so interested in that piece of ground that he just wants to keep going and looking at that land is a god in his life. Either way, this individual turned down spiritual food because he had some natural things on his mind. Did you know natural things sometimes are on our mind so much that we cannot concentrate on spiritual food? So this man had bought a piece of ground. He made an excuse. Verse 19, another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I go to see if they're good oxen. Well, you don't buy ground without first checking it out. You don't buy oxen without checking them out. I bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, these are just three particular examples that were given by Jesus about people who made excuses about why they could not come to the supper that God had prepared for them. And I believe in all ages of the world, these same kinds of excuses are made by the people of God. It's absolutely amazing to hear the excuses that people make about why they can't go to the house of God, why they can't go and feed on the Word of God. Verse 21 says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Now listen carefully to verse 23. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, brethren, I think it's important that all of us understand you and I have a responsibility to be inviting people to come to the house of God. It pleases God when his house is filled. God is not pleased when his house is not filled. He is not pleased when his children make excuses about why they can't go to the house of God. He says, go out and compel people to come that my house may be filled. Now, I believe that it's the will of God that his house be filled with people. And I believe it's also the will of God that when the people of God come to the house of God, it is imperative that the people of God be fed with spiritual food and that their souls be filled. And so it is that I often pray every week. I pray for God to fill the house of God with his people and to fill his people in the house of God. Fill them with the Word of God. Give them the spiritual food that they need. I cannot prepare the food for you. God is the one who prepared this supper. I can get up and try to preach the Word. I can get up and try to teach the Word of God. But God is the one that has to make the application for it to be food for your soul. Otherwise, all it is a lot of words. I believe when you come with the right spirit and for the right purpose, I believe that God will feed your soul. I believe he's promised that in his Word. So he says, go out into the highway. So let me also, first of all, say, I hope that everybody here, between now and Wednesday night, I hope that you will go out and invite others to come and worship with us, that they might hear the Word of God, that they might feed on the Word of God, that they might find what they need for their soul, though there are many things they're trying to fill their lives and make joy. They cannot have the joy they need without their soul being filled with food, spiritual food. Go with me back to Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, the Word of God makes a great contrast between the buying and the selling that we're often doing to try to get something that's going to make us happy. And he says, now, you're buying and selling, and you're trying to get something to satisfy you, and all the buying that you're doing is not going to satisfy you at all. In Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 1, Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Now, brethren, the Word of God here and many other places is going to refer to the Word of God as being water for your soul. It's going to be food for your soul. It's going to be wine. It's going to be milk. All of those are expressions about the Word of God that's for your soul. The Word of God says, desire, Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. He's talking about your soul growing, not just about your body growing. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Now, isn't that wonderful? These poor saints from the nursing home that are here every Sunday morning, they don't have any money. Well, occasionally. And there's one or two of them that they bring their tithes every week. And they want it in the collection plate. And that's a blessing. But brethren, there's a lot of them that don't have anything. And those that don't have anything, God's just as pleased with them as he is those that give. The only thing God requires is those that have, they better give. You better give your tithes and your offerings in the house of God. But isn't it wonderful when poor people, and you may find today in your life that you are poor. I'm talking about that you don't have any money at all. When you find yourself so poor that you can't go buy anything, I want you to always remember there's something that will satisfy you that money cannot buy. And when your soul is full, you're going to be satisfied in every way in your life. You can fill up your body and it not be satisfied, but if you fill your soul, you'll be satisfied. The scripture says now, he says, come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That is, you cannot buy spiritual food. You can have $1 million in the bank and tell a preacher, I'll give you $1 million to feed my soul, and he can't feed your soul at all. Money cannot buy the Spirit of God. Money cannot buy spiritual food. He says, come and buy spiritual food, but you can't buy it with natural money. Verse 2, he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Now, were they buying natural bread? Yes. Were they buying natural food? Yes. Was that natural food and natural bread what he's talking about? He says, no, there's something far better than that natural food. Why are you spending your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul, you notice the wording there, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Brethren, when the soul is fed with the Word of God, when God feeds your soul is going to be fat. And that's a wonderful blessing in the Word of God, is for a soul to be full of the Word of God. And let me say this, no more can you be a healthy person by eating once or twice or three times a week. You likewise cannot be spiritually healthy if all you're eating, even if you eat the Word of God every time you come to the house of God, you still cannot be spiritually healthy if that's the only food that you get. You need natural food every day, and you need spiritual food every day of your life. And the wonderful thing is, you can buy the food. You can go to the Word of God at home every day. There are people in this congregation that I know who every single day of their lives, before they ever eat breakfast, before they read the newspaper, before they do anything else, they sit down with the Word of God. And they feed on the Word of God, and their souls are full, and they're happy people. And others are so busy, they don't have time to read the Word of God, and they're very unhappy people. Though they can buy a lot of things, and though they do buy a lot of things to try to be happy and satisfy that emptiness, they can't buy enough. They can't buy everything in the world and satisfy their soul. Verse 3 says, "Incline." Watch this now. He says, after he says in verse 2 to to eat that food. Then in verse 3, he says, incline your what? Ear. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. You see, it's hearing the Word of God. It's feeding on the Word of God. It's listening to the Word of God that gives you, that's the avenue through which your soul gets food. He says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Come down to verse 10. I want you to know, brethren, that the Word of God, when it is preached, the Word of God, when it goes forth, it never returns to God void. Watch the wording. In Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may be, give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. What's the word of God being compared to in verses 10 and 11? It's being compared to the rain and the snow. And the rain comes down and waters the earth, and it brings forth plant life. I'll tell you, brethren, the Word of God, the preached Word of God, as it waters the souls of the people of God, they bring forth fruit abundantly in their lives. And the people of God, when they're bringing forth fruit, the sower is blessed, and the one that sent the rain is blessed. God is blessed when He sees you who have been watered by the Word of God and fed by the Word of God, when He sees you bringing forth fruit to His honor and glory. Verse 12, for ye shall go out. I want you to watch the wording now. Do you remember the text back over there? And I didn't say it was a text, but it is. In Luke 14, verse 15, the Scripture says, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. You remember the wording there? Blessed is he that shall eat bread. You know why you're blessed? You're blessed because your soul's going to be filled. You're blessed because when you eat bread in the kingdom of God, you're going to be satisfied. You're blessed because when you eat bread in the kingdom of God, you're going to bring forth fruit to the honor and glory of God. And so it is in verse 12, Isaiah 55, 12, the Word of God says, for ye shall go out. If you've been drinking in this water, if you've been drinking in the Word, if you've been buying the right kind of food, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. You think it's by chance that the New Testament defines the kingdom of God as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? And then God says in Isaiah 55 that when the rain comes down and waters your soul and your soul is fed and you bring forth fruit, He says you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I'm telling you, brethren, the Church of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God is a place where the Word of God is spiritual food for God's dear children. And when you take it in and you drink it and you eat it, it brings forth fruit in your life. And you're satisfied, and God is glorified when you're bringing forth fruit. Nothing makes, you know, people that don't work, people that don't produce anything, they never have any feeling of being worth anything. You know, I don't understand how people sit around and do nothing all the time. I don't understand how people can just sit back and never do anything. I enjoy being productive in different ways. I enjoy producing things. I enjoy studying the Word of God. I enjoy seeing things in the Word of God. I enjoy preaching the Word of God when I can feel the presence of God's Spirit. I enjoy seeing God's people feed on the Word of God. I enjoy seeing God's people bring forth fruit after they've been watered and after they've been fed and they've drank that milk, and they've drank that wine, they've eaten the bread of the food of the Word of God, and then they go forth and they bring forth fruit. God's glorified. They're happy because they're pleasing God. God's pleased with their lives, and they go forth with joy, and they go forth with peace in their lives if they take in that water and that bread. Go with me to John chapter 6 very quickly. Let's listen to what Jesus says about the bread of life. Blessed is he. Remember the text in Luke chapter 14 and verse 15 says, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 6. First notice verse 27, because Jesus is again showing a major difference between natural bread and spiritual bread. Though there are a lot of similarities, he's saying if the only thing you're after, if what you're laboring for is natural bread, if what you're laboring for is to satisfy your body, you can buy boats, you can buy houses, you can buy cars, you can buy guns, you can buy everything you might want or think you want, and you will never be happy if your soul is not satisfied. You ever seen a little gerbil? He gets on that wheel and just runs and runs and runs, and he doesn't go anywhere. It reminds me of a scripture in the Old Testament that says there was a certain king that had 70 nephews, and they rode around on donkeys. And that's all the Bible says about those 70 men, is they rode around on donkeys. Now, I would hate for God to say, my son Billy rode around in his car. My son Billy rode around in his boat. My son Billy just rode around all his life. He just walked around. He just went in circles like a little gerbil. Do you ever feel like you're on a little wheel going round and round and round? Sometimes I get like that. Sometimes life gets so busy, I feel like I'm just running in circles, just going round and round. But listen, brethren, if I'll stop and start feeding on the Word of God, and I begin to satisfy my soul instead of my body, I find great peace and great joy. I'm happy when I'm in the Word of God, when I'm feeding on the Word of God, when God is feeding me. Let me tell you something different. There's a big difference in you going on the internet and just taking something that's canned and you taking the Word of God and you reading the Word of God and God feeding your soul. Big difference. When you feel like, and I've had a lot of the men here that have done this, that have called me up when they would first start coming to church and first start seeing the truth, they'd come up and say, Brother Billy, look at this. I know you've probably never seen this before. I want you to look at this. Now listen, brethren, that's when the Spirit of God is feeding your soul and you feel like this is the newest dish that nobody else has ever seen, this beautiful dish that God prepared for me. You ever felt that way? That God gave you something out of His Word. Well, the only people that are going to feel that way are not people who just come and just get fed at the master's table in the house of God, but when they're on their own and they're reading and they're studying the Word of God, and God says, look at this, look at this, look at this. He's feeding your soul. He's giving you something that you'll feel like, that's the best thing I've ever had in my life. Wonder why Brother Billy can't ever see something as pretty as this. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. You follow me? When God shows you something, brethren, it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And He'll show you things every week if you'll read and study His Word. He'll feed your soul every day if you'll just read and study His Word. John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus makes this statement. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Now, what's He talking about? Labor not for the meat which perisheth. He's talking about the natural things of this world. Don't concentrate on the natural things of this world. How did He say it in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The food, clothing, and shelter that you need. God will take care of those things, but seek first the spiritual food, and He'll give you the natural food. So He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus will give you spiritual food. It's a promise that He gives you right here. If you labor for this spiritual food. See, He says, He's contrasting. Don't labor, don't concentrate on that meat which perisheth, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Come down to verse 32. Verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Now, they thought Moses gave them bread from heaven, and he did give them some bread from heaven, but it was natural bread for the natural body, which is different completely than what Jesus is talking about we all need. So he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. That bread from heaven, and we're going to see what it is. For the bread of heaven is, what's the next word? He. The bread of God is He. That's Jesus. The bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. There are three times in this one chapter that Jesus clearly makes it known, I am the bread of life. You see, when we preach the Word of God, see, I've been preaching so far mainly about how reading and studying and hearing the Word of God is food for your soul. That's the bread of life you need. Yes, it is. But you know what you see? If you hear the Word of God, you see and hear Jesus. Jesus is preached anytime and every time that the Word of God is really preached. You can preach on the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is still being preached because He's the King of the kingdom of heaven. You can preach on the church. I could preach for 6 months on the church, and I'm preaching Jesus because Jesus is the head of the church. He's the one that built the church. He's the one that gave Himself for the church. Doesn't matter. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, I came to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Everything that is fundamental, election, predestination, election, all of those are preaching Jesus Christ. Everything practical is preaching Him crucified. You and I, as the people of God, we need the whole Word of God. We need the fundamental doctrine. We need the practical doctrine. We need all the teachings of the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God, here's the way a songwriter says it that's true. He says, beyond the sacred page, we seek Thee, Lord. The written word, the preached word, is all about the living word, Jesus Christ. Have you ever supped with Jesus? You remember how Jesus said to him that overcometh, will I give to eat? This is Revelation 2:7. He says, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life. You know who the tree of life is? It's Jesus. And then he says, in Revelation 2:17, he says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat the manna that cometh down from heaven. You ever eaten that manna that came down from heaven that God fed you with? Brethren, you and I as the people of God, we need to thank God for the privilege that we have to feed on the Word of God. Let me say one thing in closing. If you will, listen carefully to Amos 8:11-12. Listen carefully. Behold, the day is come. And I'll tell you, brethren, the day is coming in America and is fast approaching where it's already true. Did you know there is already a famine in the land? The United States government can provide food and do all kinds of things to help people that are hungry and that need food for their natural body. But the United States government cannot give one person food for their soul. And there's a famine of hearing the Word of God today. There is a famine of spiritual food. That's what that brother was talking about that was here this morning when he said he goes to his church and all he hears is, give me money, give me your money, give me your money. He said, that's all I ever hear. But this morning he said, I heard the Word of God. In Amos 8:11, the Word of God says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine. Will God send a famine in the land? Most people don't know this God, the God of the Bible. They don't know Him. They know a little old man that's just wanting to do all kinds of things if you'll let him. Well, that's just not the God of the Bible. The Word of God says, the days come that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's a famine where the souls of God's people are going to dry up and cry out for spiritual food. Verse 12 says, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." Brethren, if you're able to partake of the word of God, if you're able to feed on the word of God, if you're able to have your soul fed, you need to fall on your knees tonight and thank God for the privilege that you have of reading and studying His word and being fed at the Master's table. Please don't make an excuse tomorrow about not feeding on the word of God tomorrow. Feed on the word of God every day is my prayer, for Christ's sake.